This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Matt Doyle is producing, and in-house to start our January 2nd show is George Caldwell Sells, the longtime anchorman, 24 years. He was at WAFB nightly, and he was the top-rated anchor for most of those years, and he's remained active. In fact, Pam Bordelon, who was with us a few days ago from The Advocate, wrote a major feature about George. WAFB's longtime anchor George Sells is no longer on the air, but that doesn't mean he isn't reporting. You just can't get it out of your blood. It's there forever, right?
Oh, that's right, and that's why I love coming down here. I actually get to get on the air and play broadcast.
And listen to those pipes. At the age of 77, George Sells still has it, despite the fact that you did smoke for many years, right?
Oh, yeah, but I quit smoking in 1994.
26 years ago now.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it's an interesting thing. The general manager one time came by my desk and just said, you know, it doesn't make sense for me that a guy who makes his living with his voice smokes cigarettes. Why don't you quit? And that was a strong message.
Well, of course, Humphrey Bogart smoked, died of cancer. Yeah. Edward R. Murrow died of cancer. You can go down the list. We've had Bob Edwards on this show many times, a longtime anchor for Morning Edition, and he is a militant smoker, and you can tell by his voice quality it's diminished through the years, and it's probably because of that. I don't think there's any doubt, and he's no longer in the game. But George Sells continues to do other things, and, of course, he is an observer of our world at large, and he is one of the few people who was around as a reporter in 1974 when Richard Nixon was not impeached but resigned before he would have been impeached and convicted. And he left office on the 9th of August, 1974. He seemed so old. I was a kid at the time, George, and when I look at the clock, Nixon was born in 1913, so that means in 1974 he was 61 years old, the same age I am right now. And he looked like a man who was just beaten up.
Well, he also was a man who was young by today's standards for our presidents and candidates for president.
Think about that. Yeah, think of the Democrats in particular. And, of course, there's Trump, who is 73, almost 74. But Sanders and Warren and Biden and Bloomberg are all past 70 and some closer to 80 than they are 70. Yeah. Maybe you ought to run for president, George.
Yeah, Nixon's a whippersnapper. I looked it up yesterday. I was curious about Biden. Biden is... I think...
Born in 1942, same year as you.
Yeah, he's somewhat younger than I am.
77.
I forgot. You're the man who remembers everybody's birth date.
Yeah, well, he's 77 years old, which would mean if he were to serve two terms, you know, he'd be elected at 78. We're looking at him leaving office at the age of 86.
And that is somewhat troubling.
He's a man who's had some health issues, too, a brain aneurysm, and he's come back strong, but... the clock catches up with all of us at some point.
They do. As a matter of fact, we had a lecture from an LSU University neurologist over at the place where I live, and I ran tape on his speech, and he talked about the very thing about age and how you start to lose it as you get older, and everybody does. I don't care who you are, but he was talking mainly about Alzheimer's and dementia. And here's an interesting fact. It was such an interesting fact that I wrote a newspaper-style story and fed it to the AP, and that is this. Alzheimer's disease is not an inherited disease. It is not genetic. The story I wrote led off with, your mother had Alzheimer's, which she did in my case. Your grandfather had Alzheimer's, so you are pretty fearful that you're going to get Alzheimer's. He said, Alzheimer's is not an inherited disease. Zip. Not
it's environmental?
Inherited. It is not environmental. Oh, it could be. But what he said was this. You're not going to get Alzheimer's because your mom had it. That won't be the reason. But by the time you're 90 years old, you have a 30% chance of having Alzheimer's because the population is getting so much older.
I know, and I'm surprised it's not higher than that. That actually is encouraging that there's only a 30% chance, and that's a... something that we deal with now. But you're right, people are living to be older, but the question is whether the quality of life has survived as the quantity of life has, and I am afraid in many cases it is not. But let's not be on a downer as we start the new year. You start the new year with a new bride.
Right.
So congratulations, George Thank Sells.
You.
And you were married to Sandy, an exceptional person who was really your rock for many years, and she died a few years ago, suddenly. I remember it was a Sunday, and you were watching the Saints, if I remember.
Right. She was. She threw her fist across her chest when Breeze was intercepted and fell to the floor. And I asked her if she wanted to get up, and she said, "No, hell, I'll just stay here." She was so angry. And when I went back, she was dead. She died of an aneurysm. New bride after 5 years is Patty Toops Sells, Baton Rouge businesswoman. And same personality as Sandy, sense of humor, never met a stranger, beautiful. Yeah, you know, same old stuff.
You've done well. George Sells, 877-217-5757. Happy New Year to you. Glad you're with us. And this is a live show.
Yeah, so. Actually, I wanted to say that.
Yes.
This is not on tape.
This is not tape. This is live and available for inclusion of the mass audience that we know WRKF has, the most enlightened audience in the world, and 16 days from now, the station will be celebrating its 40th anniversary.
That's right.
11 days from now, LSU will be playing in the championship game at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome against Clemson, a battle of Tigers. And, George, you've been in this town since 1988. In fact, LSU won the SEC title the year you came here, the earthquake game. But nothing in two national titles since. Nothing has equaled, I think, the anticipation of this year.
You know, Jim, that this record, this team of a generation, particularly, or let's say the quarterback of a generation, has had me so tied up in knots. You know, you're supposed to relax and enjoy it. And 63-20, whatever it was, in the game against Oklahoma.
It's 63-28.
Yeah,
let's not drink too much of the Kool-Aid, George.
I just sat there and enjoyed it. But I keep tied up in knots about the next game, which we probably will win. As one of the people over at LSU told me, one of the officials whom I won't quote or won't name him, he simply said, "George," you can tell by the accent who said it, "this kid is from another planet."
He's amazing. He's also 23 years old. He's the same age as Ben Simmons, who played basketball at LSU and is now a four-year NBA veteran. So he is a man. And a listener asked, before we go to their first phone call, about whether it's appropriate for the Advocate, and we'll have Mark Ballard here later, and, of course, he's not going to slam his bosses, and I wouldn't either. He wants to eat, but... is it appropriate for a newspaper to brand itself as the official newspaper of LSU sports?
Oh, heaven's sakes. I didn't know they did that.
Yes.
But, you know, you've got
to pay money for that moniker.
Oh, yeah, everybody. The official lawyers of the LSU Tigers, the official laundry of the LSU Tigers, the official toilet bowl cleaners of the LSU Tigers, everybody's claiming that title or
but
paying
for a journalistic entity, in the old days, that was a knock. That was a slam job when somebody said you were on the team, in the camp. But there are the, quote, official newspaper of LSU and the Saints. And in this community, it's very difficult to produce anything of a negative nature. I'm sure stories have been killed. I know in one case a story that was killed as a result of this championship epic season. Most people don't want to rain on the parade. Journalists included, George Sells.
Yeah. Well, I know that many of the stories about the suspensions of certain players, I wonder what the hell is really going on. Why am I not reading about it? The television stations are too shallow in depth to find out, so I just go to Sports Illustrated, and they will break the story for us.
All right. Okay, 877-217-5757 to talk to the unique George Sells. Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. Hello, Henry, and Happy New Year.
Well, good morning and Happy New Year to you, Mr. Jim and Mr. George. It's a pleasure hearing both of y'all's voice. Matter of fact, I just now learned something. I learned that Mr. George has as demented a sense of humor as I do, because the first thing I thought of when you were talking about those sponsorships was I was thinking the official toilet paper of LSU athletics, but the same difference.
Well,
reminds me of when Fox McKithen was concerned about naming the Superdome. He didn't want his daddy's masterpiece to be called the Preparation H Superdome.
He said that on this show, I remember.
I didn't know he did that.
Yeah, and the legislators voted to name it the John McKithen Superdome, and Tom Benson got that undone. It's amazing.
Well, see, Mr. Jim, I'm a loyal listener. I remember things that I hear here.
But
I
Fox
wanted to point something
statement.
Out that you left out.
Yes.
Do you know that today is the birthday of Congressman Denny Hastert, the Republican wrestling coach? And I was wondering if maybe you and Mr. George, being a news veteran, or two news veterans, would comment on this, because we know what Mr. Hastert's problems was. He was a wrestling coach, and he couldn't keep his hands off all the wrestlers.
And he became Speaker of the House after forcing Bill Clinton to be impeached. We'll talk more about that and more when we return. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number, and George Sells is with us, the veteran anchor man who has worked in most of the major markets in this country, New York, Philadelphia, Houston, Denver, Nashville. He's been around, as they say. I've been everywhere. George Sells has spent the last 31 years of his 77 years in Baton Rouge, and he is observing what's going on in our world. And right now, nationally, the president has been impeached, and there will be a Senate trial, presumably.
Presumably.
I think there will be a Senate trial. And, George, you were around in 1974 and in 1998. Henry mentioned Bill Clinton, and, of course, the guys leading the charge, Livingston, Gingrich, and Hastert, they all went down in sexual scandals themselves, and yet they impeached a president for a sexual lie, and hypocrisy in Washington. Imagine that. Hypocrisy everywhere. Is Jerry Brown, who was on this show many years ago.
The Jerry Brown of California.
The Jerry Brown. He says, we all engage in hypocrisy. It's just a matter of degree.
Well, in the case of Bill Clinton, I don't know. Have you met Bill Clinton face-to-face and spent some time with him? Okay, well, you know he's a charming guy, and he's brilliant. I remember the time I spent some time with him, interviewing him in Piscataway, New Jersey, for Channel 9. We had to kill some time while he was setting up cameras. And the guy is a sponge of information. They were dedicating a new field house at the University of Arkansas, and he was mentioning that the game was going to involve LSU. He starts quoting me names of LSU basketball players. This is the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. He just is incredibly, he's like a sponge with information, but he is also a charmer. And there were no women in the room at the time, I don't think. Except maybe one of the photographers, and he wasn't trying to charm anybody. He just has that charm, looks you directly in the eye. I can see how he got into trouble with a lot of women. And I was reviewing that impeachment proceeding because that was the one I was least involved in. I was very close to the Nixon impeachment because I worked at ABC at the time and stood watch outside the Attorney General John Mitchell's home in New York, because we always knew we could get a soundbite from his wife, Martha Mitchell.
From Pine Bluff, Arkansas, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You know they named the expressway through Pine Bluff the Martha Mitchell Expressway?
Oh, she was a character. And we knew if we could get her outside and get her talking, we would have soundbites. But each of these guys, Clinton and to a lesser degree, Trump, have had the sex angle played into their faces. But in reviewing the Clinton case, my God, that was everything. But do you impeach the president of the United States for fellatio? I'm not sure that's a legitimate case.
Well, it basically happened. And now we have a president who did something else and has been impeached. But the same people like Lindsey Graham who were saying Clinton's got to go, and they're now saying this is a sham, it's a hoax, it's fake news.
Well, Lindsey Graham, as a matter of fact, you're right, but Lindsey Graham in the Clinton case did vote no on one of the articles against
Bill
Clinton.
That means he voted
Clinton.
Yes on three of them, though. And
but Lindsey Graham showed a little bit of reasonableness, if that were a word. I've forgotten which count. But there were, let's see, in Clinton's case, there were, Article 1 was lying to a grand jury, and Article 3 was obstruction of justice by encouraging Lewinsky et al. To lie about what was really happening.
It's amazing that Democrats didn't go some other route on impeachment, and there's several angles they could have taken. They could have impeached Trump for the $130,000 in hush money he paid to pornographic film star Stormy Daniels, Pride of Baton Rouge, for a relationship that he did not want to be publicized before the election, and he did not claim that as a campaign expenditure, and
yeah,
clearly it was.
It's a technical case. As a matter of fact, that was one of the things that Bill Clinton got burned for in his paid $950,000 in a settlement later, after his impeachment, to Paula Jones.
His insurance company did so. It was homeowners insurance, by the way, too, George. Did you know homeowners insurance covered those sorts of things?
Yeah, I better call Allstate right now and see what I can get out of them.
Yeah, that's what...
one of the things also about this whole affair. You wonder where these guys get so rich. Now, in this, I did not know that the hush money he paid to Paula, the settlement he paid
Paula
Jones.
He didn't pay anything.
He didn't pay anything.
The insurance company paid everything.
But where do these guys get all this money? They go in as just Poe, Arkansas boys, and they come out with just a whole lot of money from the Clinton Foundation. Now, in Trump's case, we know where he gets a lot of his money. But a lot of people don't realize that when Trump ran for president, he was a low spender compared to some of the others.
Well, in Arkansas, when I was a kid who lived there 10 years, the governor at that
time...
I didn't
know that.
Yeah, made $10,000 a year.
The governor was
Winthrop Rockefeller when I got there. He was one of the richest people in the world. But $10,000 a year is what the governor made. And in Louisiana, we pay our governor $135,000 a year. Now, I don't know, George, but I suspect you've been off the air now for 8 years, but... I suspect at WAFB in your heyday, you made a lot more than $135,000 a year. You were making more than the governor of Louisiana, George Sells.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, my son dug up one of my old pay stubs when I was working in Detroit and said, Dad, do you realize that if you apply inflation to this when you were working in Detroit, you were making $750,000 a year? I kind of went, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and for those unaware, George was a star in Roger and Me, the movie with Michael Moore. George Sells, if you go rent that film, and I'm sure many of our listeners will as we speak, you'll see George Sells a few years back.
For the record, Michael Moore, who made the film, was a creep, a liar, and a jerk. And he was filming me while I didn't know he was doing it, but he bought the rights to everything I said by paying my television station money.
Well,
but that's a whole other story for another day.
You know, he's one of the few liberals to be booed by Hollywood at the Oscar ceremony. I think he won his the best documentary for the gun documentary he did,
yeah.
Bowling for Columbine. But he embarrassed Charlton Heston, and in Hollywood,
brutalized
you,
Heston.
You don't go there.
Yeah.
You don't go there. And he went after the royalty, and they booed him as he took the stage to accept his Oscar. So,
and anything he did, I question it being a documentary. I'll give you a classic example. I'll make this quick because this is not the subject. But the name of the movie Roger and Me was about Roger Smith, the chairman of the board of General Motors. But he wanted to make Roger look bad. And he filmed, and yes, it was film, not tape. He filmed Roger Smith at the board meeting of General Motors, stockholders meeting of General Motors in 1 year. And Roger said one thing, and then he took the film from the second stockholders meeting from a year later and said something else and matched the two as if he were saying it in the same situation,
mm-hmm.
and made Roger look like a monumental liar. Well, he may have been, but not in this case.
Okay. As far as the impeachment, what are the distinctions between Nixon, Clinton, and Trump?
Nixon was not impeached. He was caught red-handed by his tapes. articles of impeachment were being prepared by Peter Rodino's House Judiciary Committee, but Nixon was never impeached. Clinton was impeached. I've got a law professor who argues with me that you're not impeached until the Senate votes impeachment, votes on the impeachment articles, but every headline I've seen says you're impeached if the House votes to impeach you. So Clinton was impeached on two counts, and they were voted down by the Senate on President Trump. The House has voted to impeach him, but the Senate is going to vote if Pelosi sends the articles to the Senate.
Well, she's obviously maneuvering, hoping that there will be witnesses. And
you know what I think she's doing? I think she's holding off to keep the campaign trail open for the Democrats until March, so they can be on the campaign trail.
Right, hold that thought.
Okay.
877-217-5757. Back with George Sells, and we'll hear from Mark Ballard of The Advocate as well. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, the January 2nd edition of our show as we start 2020. Today, by the way, would have been the 97th birthday of James Schoaf Featherston, longtime professor at LSU. He died in 2000, and Jim Featherston was a Pulitzer Prize winner. He covered the Kennedy assassination and the integration of Central High and Little Rock, among other major stories in his career. And George Sells is a man who's been around the block. We'll spend a few more minutes with him, and then we'll hear from Mark Ballard and recap 2019 with the intrepid and versatile reporter and editor of The Advocate. 877-217-5757 is your number. Three of the last nine presidents now have either been impeached or forced, in Nixon's case, from office because he was about to be impeached and convicted. And is this the new norm, George Sells?
That's what I fear. It is so easy to find something in which they can bring charges, and they alone decide what the charges are and what is a case of high crimes and misdemeanors. And I don't know that what happened with Trump was a high crime. It was maybe a misdemeanor. And I certainly don't believe that the fellatio involving President Clinton was a high crime, although the lying to the grand jury about what happened thereafter and his intimidation of witnesses was a serious crime. But that doesn't call for the impeachment of the president. And his job ratings, I'm talking about Clinton now, his job ratings were in the 70s and 80s at the time when he was being impeached. It's just ridiculous.
That's not true of Trump, of course.
No, it's not. Trump's job ratings are much, much lower. But the fact is that these are baloney charges brought up on political grounds by both of them. The Republicans of the right-wing radio will tell you that this is all political baloney, and I believe they're right, but it was just as much political baloney on Clinton in 1998.
Let's see if we can slide a call in for George before we go to Mark Ballard. Steve in Denham Springs has been waiting for a while. Steven, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey guys. My question is for George.
Yes, Steve.
Have your views of news changed since you've been out of broadcasting?
Not really. No, not really. I get irritated at homicide after homicide after homicide on the late news on both or all three stations, though I tend to watch WAFB and WBRZ primarily because they have more resources. My views of network news have changed considerably because when I was at ABC for 5 years, we pretty much went down the center path. Those were the days right after Cronkite, Frank Reynolds and Peter Jennings at ABC, down the center road for the most part. There was a New York state of mind. Now, that's not the case anymore. I think at the three primary networks, NBC, ABC, CBS, it's still pretty much down the center path with a little bit of a New York tilt simply because they are in New York and they can't help themselves. We couldn't help ourselves when I was in New York. But the cable networks did not exist when I was there. And so my opinion of national news is changed, but locally, no, pretty much
all right,
the same.
Final caller for George Sells, Dr. Hippolyte Landry.
Oh! Hippolyte,
on Jefferson Highway. Hi, Dr. Landry.
Good morning, guys. How are you? Two of my best friends. How are you? Happy New Year to everybody.
Same to you, Doc.
Good. Congratulations, George, on all of your new accomplishments going ahead in life. Retirement didn't slow you down, buddy. And it's so nice to speak with both of you guys. You both are my good friends.
Happy New Year to you, Hippolyte Landry.
Thanks for
born
calling, Hippolyte.
The year of 1926, I believe. So do the math. He'll be 94 later this year.
Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Finally, a listener, Tracy, asked about David Stern, NBA commissioner. He died yesterday, former commissioner, 30 years in charge of the league. He was 77. But the headlines in many papers, example, New York Times, architect of the modern NBA is a brand and a global force. He encouraged players from other countries to become part of the NBA, and that they have in large numbers. And the listener, Tracy, notes that the LSU quarterback a few years ago, when he was a young man, he's still young, he's 23, that's young, but a few years ago he tweeted that the NBA should ban foreigners. Are you with Joe Burrow or David Stern, George Sells?
Oh, I'd be with David Stern on that. He was a get-things-done guy. He was one of those guys, if you put him in a focus group for a television, he would pass simply because of his look and his attitude. He was a great man.
Well, he did a good job for the NBA, and he encouraged the NBA to come to New Orleans, too. So we certainly owe him a debt of gratitude, and sorry that he's gone at 77. Same age as you, by the way. But George,
don't push it too hard here, Jim.
Many miles left in the tank. Thanks for keeping it going.